Well, good evening and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm so glad you took time to join us tonight for our Kingdom Encounter Live experience. I'm so glad that you're here. We thank God for you tonight, and we know that you will receive a right now word, a word in due season that will ultimately change your life forever. So we're going to go ahead and make our confession and jump right into the word in the name of Jesus. And in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1, it is written that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to you alone we give the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, this is the day which you have made. We will rejoice, and we will be exceedingly glad in it. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, let my tongue be the pen of the ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. Father, right now I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Move up and down each and every aisle. Touch each and every person. Touch each and every household, each and every person who's listening to this, watching this, in the name of Jesus. Touch their eyes that they may see. Touch their ears that they may hear. Touch their hearts that they may open it and receive the engrafted word that will ultimately change their lives forever. I thank you, Father, for in advance for all that you will say and do. And it's in your Son, Christ Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. Now, and again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. And again, I want to thank you for joining us here at our Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God in a way that rekindles the fire, restores spiritual gifts, and revitalizes a generation. Now, we've been talking over the last few weeks about Built to Last. And if I was to give this message a title, it would be Built to Last Part 3. And in it, we've been talking about, you know, how in these last days, and we're living in the last of the last days, how, you know, there's going to be troubling times and perilous times, and there's going to be all kind of things that are going to be going on in the community and with people, and even those who are in the body of Christ, because some will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof, because they'll be more caught up when their sensual pleasures more so than lovers of God. And though they have a form of godliness, they deny his power. And what happens is for those people, we're to turn away, because we found out that you're either going to be conforming, which means that you're going to be conforming or behaving according to the socially acceptable standards that are in this world, or this world's way of doing things, or you're going to be transforming. And transforming means that you're going to be changed by the total renewal of your mind by the word of God, that you may conform to God's ways of doing things. And we found out how that, you know, the word of God told us we're not to love this world, not either love the things that are in this world, and talking about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. All those things are derived from the world, and those things don't come from God. And how the lust of the eyes, with the, you know, being drawn to those things that you can see with your eyes, lust of the flesh, if it feels good, man, you want to be a part of it. And then it's the pride of life, where, you know, you're always striving to attain some kind of status or position, and to the point where you will turn away from the things of God, chasing after these other things. And, you know, it's interesting that the adversary always makes things look better than what they are, and it costs you way more than you can afford to spin. You know, it's the added of how the grass always looks greener on the other side, but you don't know that it's astroturf. And about under that astroturf, you have rocks and you have bricks and you have and steel and all kind of things that will harm your life. And his whole desire is to draw you, entice you away from the things of God and give you what we call the counterfeit. It's a knockoff. It looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It reminds me of this funny story with some friends that I were talking about recently. How this young lady, she was on a podcast and you know, she's very elegant and she's talking and everything. And she's sitting, nice looking young lady and everything. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the podcast, she leaned her head back and her wig fell off behind the couch on a live stream. It was so funny. But when you looked at her, you could not tell that she had on a wig. But when she leaned her head back, then the true nature of what was going on underneath that wig came out and everything. And she had a stocking over the wig and everything. And she was a little embarrassed, but you know what? She kept going. Why? Because she's like, hey, it's already happened. There's no use of getting caught up. But it was so funny how things are not always as they seem. And how we talked about how it's the Lord who builds your house, for when you're trying to build a house, you're laboring in vain. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7 that your house has to be built on a firm, secure foundation. And how what he was explaining that your house is being built when you hear his word and then you go and do them and you apply them to your life, so that when storms come and when the wind's going to blow and when the rains are beating upon your house, even though all those things are still happening, you know, because even as a believer, you will go through tests, through tribulations and you will go through, you know, afflictions and things like that, because the adversary is not going to just lay down and let you just waltz on into heaven. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But God says, but I've given you my word, so that when you're applying my word to your life, even when those things try to come up against you, you have my word on how to resist those things, how to maneuver through those situation tests and trials, so that even when that rain is beating upon your house and the wind is blowing and all those things and all those perilous times are going on around you, you will still be able to stand, because your house is built on a solid foundation. And how God has given us gifts. He's given us apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers to do what? To help us to mature and to grow up in the things of God, so that we can, as mature as we're growing up in the things of God, because we're hearing the word, we're receiving the word, we're believing the word of God, we're speaking the word of God, we're acting out on the word of God, and we're walking in the authority and we're walking in the dominion that he's given us on the earth, then what will happen is we will begin to do works of the ministry to increase the body of Christ. Because when people see you walking in your victory, they're going to want to know, man, how are you walking in your victory? I got all these things going on and you're going through the same things I'm going through. How is it that you're coming out successful, but I'm getting beat down? I'm broke. But I'm busted. Can't be trusted. I got all these calamities going on. Why isn't your life the same way? And then you can share with them how you made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You made a decision to hear the word of God. You made a decision to receive the word of God, believe the word of God, and act on what it is that the word of God said. Now, last week we was talking about how many people have a zeal or a passion for God, or they're pursuing God, but they're not doing it according to the knowledge of God. And when you try to do something that's not according to the knowledge of God, you don't get the same results. He says what would happen, and he talked about this in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, how they will have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He says because they're ignorant of, or they lack knowledge of God's righteousness. So what have people begun to do? People have begun seeking to establish their own righteousness and not have submitted to the righteousness of God. And the crazy part about that is you can come up with all these other, you know, you can get, anybody can get to God. You don't have to accept Jesus to get to this. Some of the ways that people saying that you can receive the righteousness of God apart from doing it God's ways is you don't have to, all you got to do is be a good person and your good outweigh your bad, or you can seek to follow this, or you can seek to follow that, or, you know, God loves you so much, he'll never let these things happen to you. It sounds all good in a textbook, but guess what happens when you stand before the one who has the answer sheet? It's kind of like, you know, you being in university and you're sitting in a science class with a math book, and no matter how much, you know, even though there may be some similarities, there may be some formulas or whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, you're still sitting in the science class. But if you try to use math principles in that science class where the terms will be different and the equations and all that will be different, you will come up with some very different results. And when you take that exam, chances are you will fail that class. Ain't no chances. You will fail that class because you're trying to do it another way other than the way that the class curriculum was already set up. And that's the same thing that's happening right now. The adversary is telling people all kinds of stuff. You don't have to do it that way. There's more ways to get to God more than Jesus. Well, Jesus said this in John chapter 14. He says, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. No man gets to the Father except through Him. You can't get to God except through His Son, Jesus. You can't say you love God and hate Jesus, or you can't say you accept God, accept Jesus, but you have no time for God. And you can't have God and Jesus and ignore the Holy Spirit, because they all three operate together in unison in Jesus' name. Last week, we also talked about how, you know, there is a Kingdom of God benefit. I call it the benefit package of the Kingdom of God, which is found in Psalms 103. You can start verse 1-8. And what it does, what we talked about last week, is God is either going to be your solution or He's going to be your problem, but He can't be both. You got people trying to blame God for everything. People at this point take no responsibility for anything that they do. And everything they do is either God's fault, somebody else's fault, the devil's fault, the dog's fault, the cat's fault, the squirrel down the street's fault. It's everybody else's fault but their own. And the danger in that is if you never accept any responsibility for your own mistakes, then how is God going to help you? Because the first step, even in a drug rehab program or alcoholic-free program or any kind of program, the first thing you have to do before you can move to step two is first point of step one is you have to admit there is a problem. And in a lot of times, the problem is you. Can I tell you something? I love you. But can I tell you something? The devil can't make you do anything. God won't make you do anything. And the devil can't make you do anything. So please stop lying on the devil and say, the devil's busy. He made me do it. He made me eat that extra piece of cake. No, he did not. Your body told you was hungry. Even though you were so full, if you took another bite, you would blow up. Your body said it was hungry. You wanted that piece of cake. You went in and said, you know what? I'm just going to have a little piece. And then when you went to the refrigerator in the middle of the night, I used to make this joke and said, you know, some people are on a seafood diet. And they said, what's a seafood diet? A seafood diet is you eat all the food you see. And it says you had, you know, I said a joke about my wife one time. I said, she's on a light diet. They said, What's a light diet? A light diet is when you open up the refrigerator and you eat by the light of the food that's in the refrigerator. But anyway, when you ate that, your body's telling you that you're hungry. You haven't disciplined yourself. So you get up and you eat that, go and see that piece of cake. And you see that piece of cake, but then the piece of cake said, well, you can't eat just the cake. You got to have some ice cream with it. Now you don't eat some cake. You don't eat some ice cream. And you wake up in the morning saying, why is my pants so tight? Your husband didn't put the dryer on a higher heat. You have just gained weight. But I'll say all that because many people are blaming everybody else for their issues, when the source of a lot of their issues, the greatest enemy that you will have in your life, is the person that you look in the mirror at every single day. If you can just deal with you, you would eliminate a lot of the things going on in your life. But God can't be your problem and your solution at the same time. And we was talking about how people they have a knowledge of how God, the acts of God, but they don't understand the character of God. The character of God is one who He's already forgiven you of all your sins. He's already healed you of all your diseases. He's already redeemed your life from destruction. He's already crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles daily. And He's executing righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. In other words, He's already made these things available to whosoever will receive His Son, Jesus Christ. All these benefits are already in the Kingdom of God. The other thing about it is God doesn't use evil calamity or destruction to try to teach you a lesson. A lot of people say, God used this sickness and disease to try to teach me a lesson. I asked them a question. What if you die before you learn the lesson? What was the point of the sickness and the disease? God doesn't need to use sickness and disease to try to teach you a lesson. That's what his word is there for. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, he was talking about how every scripture is good for reproof and for correction and for doctrine. And what does it do? It helps to equip you for every good work that you would do for God. So he uses his word to discipline you. He doesn't need evil. He doesn't use evil. In fact, it says in James chapter 1, 13, that let no one say when they are tempted. Tempted means tested, enticed, or disciplined. I'm tempted, tested, or disciplined by God. For God cannot be tempted, tested, or enticed with evil, nor does he himself test, entice, or discipline anyone with evil. He flat out doesn't do it. In his character, he is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And in that love, he has love. He's joy. He's peace. He's long-suffering. He has kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things are part of the character and nature of God. But nothing in the kingdom of God just happens. And we talked about last week, there's two types of kingdom. You have the kingdom of God and you have the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is one that the adversary, Satan, has authority over. But then you have the kingdom of God, which is God's kingdom. That is, a kingdom simply is a king's dominion or authority over a territory, impacting it with his will, his purpose, and his plans. Now, the adversary, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they separated themselves from the kingdom of God, they transitioned over into the kingdom of darkness, where they became subject to Satan's will, plans, and purposes that he wanted to do in the earth. And his wills, plans, and purposes are these: to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's still his purpose and his plan and his will is still the same today. But then God says, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to send my son Jesus. And what he's going to do, he's going to restore back the kingdom of God into the earth. And the kingdom of God will be a physical place, but the kingdom of God is a government system. It is a system. And if you don't understand that the kingdom of God is a system, is a government system, then even though you are sure enough born again, you will still operate just like you were in the world, where you are still subject to Satan's killing, stealing, and destruction, when the kingdom of God has already given you authority over all those things. And it says in Colossians chapter 1:13, how God, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you was delivered from the king, from the power, our authority, our dominion of the adversary's kingdom. And you have been transitioned over into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, you have redemption. You have been redeemed from sickness and disease. You have been redeemed from poverty and lack. You have been redeemed from spiritual death. You have received forgiveness of sin. And you, and in God's eyes, you are now made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have righteousness, or you're in right standing with God. There is no enmity between you and God. There's no division or separation between you and God. Now you and God are on. He looks at you this way. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about how, you know, if you are born again, for as many as are led, in accordance to Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. Sons of God mean they have his nature and his character. And he says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He says, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where you're able to say, you can cry out, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are truly sons of God. Not only are you a son or daughter of God, but you are an heir of God. You are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And if you know anything about wills, you know about when people have their last will and testament, if you are an heir of someone, that means you have a right to everything that they have. And it says, not only do you have a right to everything God has, but you also are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So you have a right to everything that Jesus has a right to. You have access to everything that Jesus has access to. You have access to his word. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to the Father in prayer. You can spend time with him. You have access to all the wisdom and revelation and authority that Jesus has. God says, as a child of God, as a son of God, you have access to all these things. But if you keep approaching God through religion and through rituals and ceremonies and not understand that there is really a government system at play, then the adversary already knows that you don't know, and he will try to beat you upside your head until you figure out how to get him to stop. Now, you got to understand this. The reason why there's perilous times ahead is because there are laws and principles at work in the earth. See, you have two laws that are in the earth. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it talks about how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. So it's kind of like when you get on an airplane, you have two laws. You have the law of gravity that says whatever goes up must come down because gravity pulls you back down to the earth. But if there's a law that supersedes the law of gravity, which is called the law of lift, when you get enough speed and the right angle on those wings and that air gets under those wings, it will lift that plane, that 10,000 pound plane up in the air, which in the natural it should be pulled down to the ground because of gravity. But because there is a law that supersedes it, then even though the law of gravity had authority over it while it was on the ground, when the new laws were implemented, guess what happened? It superseded the law of gravity. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you cut off one of those factors that turned on the law of lift, you will find out very quickly that the law of gravity didn't go anywhere. And it's the same thing here in the kingdom of God. In the things of God, if you don't operate according to the kingdom of God and you just get lazy and go back to doing things the way you were doing it before, you will find out very quickly that the law of sin and death never went anywhere. It's still very much here, and it's here to kill, to steal, to destroy, and to take you out. Now, there are laws. How do you know? Because if you read the parable about the sower, it talks about how Jesus, he's actually teaching them about mysteries of the kingdom, mysteries or secrets about the kingdom of God. Now, he's teaching these to his disciples. What are disciples? Those who have made a decision to believe on Jesus, accept what he did for them on the cross. And also, because they received what he did for them on the cross, they have made themselves students, which means they are following his teachings, his principles, and applying them to his everyday life. He says it this way in John chapter 8, verse 30, I want to say 32, where it says this. He says, if you continue in my word, abide and live and apply them to your life. He says, then are you my disciples? He says, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. So when you begin to apply the principles and laws of the kingdom of God in your everyday life, those principles laws will make you free from the laws of what? Of sin and death. And he says, in whom the Son makes free is truly free indeed. So when he's talking to them in Luke chapter 8, his disciples, about the mysteries of the kingdom, he says this in verse number 10. He says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables. He says, why is it given to them in parables? He says, because seeing they may not see, and hearing that they may not understand. And he says, and this is what the parable is all about. He says, the parable is the seed of the word of God. See, when you talk to people in parables, you're giving them biblical principles in ways that they could understand it. But the reason why that they don't get it is because they have eyes they have eyes that can see, but they have made a decision to close their eyes to what the parable of Sam. And if they have ears to hear, but they've made a decision to close their ears and not receive what it is that the parable is saying. And they have a heart, but they closed their hearts off because they have made a decision. I don't want to hear that stuff about God. I don't want to receive that stuff about the kingdom. I don't want to see any of that stuff. I just want to continue to do it my own way. I'm going to seek out my own way of righteousness. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They are ignorant, are lacking knowledge on how to do it God's way, not because it's not made available to them, but because they have made a decision to reject it. And God will not go against your will. See, the things of God is everything with God starts with the word of God. Everything that operates in the kingdom of God begins with the word. Everything. See, the thing about it, the word of God is a seed. And see, one of the primary principles in the kingdom of God is found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, when it says this way. It says, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So you have the seed of the word. And that seed is sown. And once that seed is sown, it's going to bring forth a harvest. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that will work whether for the kingdom or a God or for the kingdom of the adversary. In fact, that's how you get born again. In fact, if you haven't been born again, and you'd like to be born again, it's as simple as getting this, receiving the word. And the word is simply this. Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. And this is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how the seed, or how things operate in the kingdom of God. That's how a person gets born again. That's how a person receives salvation. That's how a person receives Jesus and goes through the door of Jesus to get into the kingdom of God, which gives them access to the Father. It's really that simple. And how do we do that? It's just like this. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Now, right now, I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, it's really that simple. What did you do? You heard the word, which is a seed. You heard it with your ears, and you opened up your heart to receive it. And when you received it, then you was able to partake and be able to receive a harvest of whatever that seed will produce. Now, man, I'm so glad you made a decision. If you haven't already, man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, you're more than welcome to join us here every Saturday or every week. We'll put up a new podcast on every Saturday at 6 p.m. and you'll be able to hear this word and many more others. Hey, like this podcast, share it with a friend. And we'll be more than welcome to, if you have a prayer request, send us out, send it to info@ignitedepot.com, and we'll hear you, receive your prayer request. We'll pray for you. And man, we will just love to love on you. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. And I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.